Back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 105, 106.5. Thank you for staying with us. We do appreciate it. If you want to try to squeeze in a text, we might have some time at the very conclusion of today's program, 251-343-0106. I got that last text, by the way, and about who you're listening to now instead of this show. I would just say this. None of those people talk about anything going on in your state, more or less in your city. So, like, if you just want that kind of content, this is not the show for you anyway, unnamed texter. If you've moved on from the Jeff Poor Show, but yet here you are texting me, you're not going to find out what's going on in the legislature from any of those guys. It may not matter to you, but like I said, that's took me a second to catch up on that text. Enough of that. Joining us now on the line, pleased to be joined by the bookends. You Will Be Peter coming out here, I believe, next month. But Jerry Lathan joins us on the line. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Great, Jeff. How are you? Thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
About something besides politics.
Well, that's
about something besides politics.
A refreshing break sometimes, especially this time of year. The book is, like I said, You Will Be Peter. It's a novel, but you're writing about the story of Simon Peter. Let me ask you, start out with this question. What led to this? Why Peter? And this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, been a project, a decade in the works. I mean, you don't just wake up one morning and write something like this, right? There had to be something that came that led you to this.
Yeah. I think Simon Peter has been my apostle, so to speak, for as long as I can remember. His temperament, his passion, his fight and commitment are qualities that, many of us have in common, but I particularly love reading and seeing that and trying to understand the Gospels and try to make it relate to my own life. And so, it really started out as an idea for a film. For a number of years, I was a partner in a movie studio and a production operation in New Orleans where I was exposed to filmmaking. And one of the things that fascinated me was the story writing behind it and what goes into a good film. And the two just kind of came together in my head one day. Maybe God told me to do it, but it was, I just think this is one of the most important people who's ever lived. I think he's a giant of history. And one of the things that when I started trying to pitch the idea of a film, kept being asked about a book. Well, what's the book? So I went looking for the book. Where is the book that tells the story of Simon Peter's life? And finally someone said, you probably just need to write this book. And so I pivoted to that. And the last 4 years, really intensely working on the book, traveled to Israel. I've read manuscripts. I've talked to theologians and New Testament experts for hours and compiled this picture of the man I say is, I like to compare him to George Washington in the United States. He is the founding father, the leader among a group of extraordinary people. Everyone in his group goes on to be a saint. Their names are in the Bible. They're the founders of Christianity, but yet Peter is always singled out as the leader, unquestionably the leader. There's not any rivalry. They don't have an election and, the votes are split. Jesus says, you're the leader. You are the rock on which I will found my church. And it's never really questioned. It's kind of like the role that George Washington played in the founding of the country. But when you look at what Peter accomplished, and you think about what a common guy he was, I really think that's one of the great messages. The name of the book is You Will Be Peter, which is taken from the first time he meets Jesus, and Jesus says to him, you are Simon, you will be Peter. that's a pretty remarkable opening introduction when you meet someone. And it was very prophetic, and it's kind of the message, and it's the course his life would take, and it's the example for all of us, frankly. That's what it's about. You will be who you should be if you follow.
Gotcha. I talk to authors on occasion, and I don't even know where you would start on this. Obviously, the Bible leads us down the path, but you did mention it, the travel to Israel, probably visiting some of the places referenced in the book, in Scripture, also talking to theologians. Like you're laying this out, and you're laying out an outline, and look, the journey of Peter is all the way to Rome, right? But where do you, how does this come together? Like, where do you even start, I guess?
Well, that's a great question. Everybody I've ever heard talking about writing a script or writing a book or writing a novel or whatever, they always say the scariest thing and the hardest thing is that blank piece of paper, and where do you start? For me, I want the reader to imagine themselves being there, and I want you to picture the sights and the sounds and the smells, and I want you to imagine if this had happened to you. And the extraordinary change that happens in his life starts with just his interest in, frankly, it's political. He's sick and tired of the Romans. He's been a good, he's been a well-raised Hebrew boy. He's Jewish in his tradition. He's been to church a lot. His best friend, John, James, his brother, Andrew, they're attracted to this guy named John the Baptist, and they go see him. And Peter's actually baptized. So he's probing and he's looking for answers. And of course, there's a lot of anticipation at the time and talk of a Messiah. I think Peter believes that this Messiah is going to be a political answer, though. He doesn't like the Roman occupancy. He wants his freedom and he wants his country ruled by his people. But then he hears that and all of this is scripturally based, by the way. This is all in there, clearly stated or strongly inferred. But he travels to, he goes to see John the Baptist. Then his brother and his best friend, John and Andrew, go back, and they actually witness Jesus and his baptism, and that's recorded in the Gospels. And they come back and tell him, and they decide to go meet Jesus. They want to go meet him too. And that's where he first says, "You are Simon, you will be Peter." So the book opens with you meet the characters. He's a fisherman. He gets up, goes to work one morning. His brother and his friend are gone. He's wondering about that. They return and tell him what they've seen, and that's where it starts. But it's just a tale like any other historical biography of a guy doing something, and this great event pours into his life. He meets Jesus, and everything starts to change.
Joined by Jerry Lathan, the book is You Will Be Peter. Putting together a timeline, is it chronological? Is this the way we ought to view this? Like walk us through sort of the narrative that you have developed here.
Sure. The timeline, honestly, is the hardest thing to pull out of the Gospels. The Gospels are not written in a timeline where they're synced up. The four different ones, plus the book of Acts at the tail end, capture Peter's story, but the events are not necessarily sequential. So, for example, John mentions the woman at the well, at Jacob's well near Sychar, which is in Samaria, and that actually occurs in their return trip from the first trip to Jerusalem in the first year of the ministry. But John doesn't tell you that. Well, he does put it in sync because he reports it right after the wedding in Cana. But the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, don't bring it up. So piecing together the timeline was the most arduous and difficult part of this, and I've really tested it against theological experts and New Testament experts to make sure that the timeline is correct. I really tried very hard to make sure that when we move from scene to scene in the story, that it's exactly how it happened. And so that's one of the things that I think I'm maybe the proudest of is unraveling that timeline, because you just don't hear that in church training and Bible school and sermon. You know, they're taught to teach you a liturgical lesson. Here's what Jesus said, and here's how it happened, and here's what's supposed to happen in your life. But that's not storytelling in the sense of how it happened across time. It's just an example, so forth. So that's how the timeline came together. It was frankly the toughest part of the book.
Now, you said something, and it's true. I mean, how Peter's sort of the leader of the disciples, and you, I mean, that's what do you study him, you study Peter, and you look at his interactions with the other disciples, and did you really get into that? Like, you know, who were his allies? What? And this is something I never really thought of, but, you know, the focus is obviously on Jesus and a lot of our readings, but on Peter, really dialing him in. Are you able to do that?
Yes. That's exactly what the book is about. It's, again, everything is through his eyes. We don't retell everything Jesus says in the story. It's, you know, there's hardly any of the parables. It's just Peter's trying to figure out his space in this and trying to make sense of it. One of the most notable things in the scriptures, and this is very scriptural, is that he's both Simon and Peter. And Jesus calls him each one depending on what he's doing. So, you know, when he says Simon to him, it's usually like, listen to me, Simon. Simon, Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water. And then when he starts to sink, Jesus grabs his arm and says, Simon, why did you doubt? It's like when your mother says your full name. You will be Peter is what Jesus wants him to be. He wants him to transform. He wants him to move into that. You ask about his friendship. Yeah, he's obviously very close to his brother, Andrew. John is his best friend. James is very close to, you know, the big four are James, John, the brothers, Andrew, and Simon, the brothers. And those four are mentioned in every gospel as the first one. Simon is always first. There's a little variance in the other three, but that Simon is always mentioned. Peter is always mentioned first in the other three. There's not that much of interaction, even though he knew Nathaniel pretty well. Nathaniel was also a fisherman from Bethsaida, but his storyline doesn't ever really take the lead in the Gospels. And then there's Matthew. He was very suspicious and didn't care for Matthew. Matthew was the tax collector in his hometown in Capernaum. And Peter's pretty clear he doesn't like him. He doesn't understand why Jesus picks him. And he doesn't like it that he goes to his home and has dinner right after that, this big soiree with lots of other figures from the Roman government and the political world. So, yeah, I color in all of those characters and give them personalities and interactions with each other. And you hear it and see it. Always, though, from Simon's point of view, Simon's eyes are how you do it. You meet his wife. He was married. And she's a very supportive character. But like anybody's spouse, she asked some questions about what this is all about and how it's going to work. And so there's a lot of development of the other characters, all of which I really believe is drawn from the New Testament. We're not making up anything here.
Just a few minutes to go here, Jerry. Let's talk about, you know, the first pope, the first leader of the church. That is, you know, beyond the life of Christ, really his important role. And look at, like, you know, even today, right? It's stood the test of time. Getting it started, though, just like we were talking about starting anything, that you know, that had its ups and downs, right?
Sure. And, you know, some of this kind of came from a wisecrack one of my friends made one time, where he said something about, you know, Jesus delegated and he gave these guys some training and an assignment, and then he left and told them to take care of it. You know, in a lot of ways, that's true. He did. Of course, you know, if you're a faithful person and a believer, you know that the Holy Spirit was there to help and guide. But I think it's pretty remarkable that Peter was never questioned as the leader. there's some conversation where, you know, John and James's mother asked Jesus for a favor. Can he sit at your right hand? There's some other hints at some rivalry over who's going to be doing what. But again, kind of like George Washington, there's not a whisper anywhere among, you know, Adams and Jefferson and Monroe are all going to be future presidents. They're pretty big figures. But none of them ever thought they should be ahead of Washington. And no one ever questioned that Simon was, that Peter, sorry, by the time he gets to be Peter, is going to be the leader and the founder of the church. And it's extraordinary that even Paul acknowledges that. You know, Paul basically says the primacy of Peter is never to be questioned. Don't ask me that question. Are you bigger than Peter? Are you on an equal part? No. Jesus anointed Peter as the leader. And there's a lot of meaning in that because Peter's a common guy. He's a regular guy. So one of the people, a Mobile audience will appreciate this. I always tell people that if you knew Paul, if Paul was here today, he would probably have PhD behind his name. He might be teaching a class in theology at Spring Hill College or something like that. He'd be clearly a recognized intellectual and accomplished academic person. And Peter would have on a pair of white boots. And he's working on a boat in Mobile Bay somewhere. He's an everyman. He's a very average everyman. And it was no accident that Jesus chose him for that. He meant that as a message to all of us. It's meant for everybody, not for the elite, not for the rich, not for the well-connected. The message is aimed at everybody.
Jerry, we're up against a break here. The book is You Will Be Peter, coming out here shortly. We'll get you some more details on that. But if people need to find it, you can find it on Amazon or anywhere, right?
That's right. YouWillBePeter.com is our webpage. Name of the book, YouWillBePeter.com. And you can find it at Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore. Its release date is November 19th.
We'll get you on again to talk about it when we get closer to release date. Jerry Latham, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Ain't nobody looking back again.